The calcium-rich mud is thick and sloppy, the kind that can pull ordinary shoes right off your feet. Thankfully, I'm wearing my knee-high rubber wading boots. There's two reasons for this. First, this awful mud. And second...
So, Clint, last time you were here, you saw some rattlesnakes. Where were they?
Yeah, I saw one on the south side of the creek, and another one about 60 meters ahead of us on the north side.
Great, thanks.
Great, thanks. The prairie fen is prime habitat for the eastern Massasauga, Michigan's only pit viper. My guides tell me it's quite shy, and that the only probable way I'll get bitten is if I step right on one. Not that I'd see it anyway.
I just went in about ankle deep.
Oh, yeah.
There's another hazard straight ahead and at eye level. Botanist Rachel Hackett, who's walking 6 feet in front of me, sees it first.
All right. Are you familiar with poison sumac?
A little.
Okay. So this is a poison sumac tree right here. It's related. It's in the same genus as poison ivy. So don't touch it.
Roger that.
Yep.
Rachel, I can't tell you how glad I am that you're walking 6 feet in front of me.
No problem. I have to point out the hazards of the poison sumac to myself, so I might as well point them out to everybody else. See, I worry about the poison sumac much more than rattlesnakes.
We reach a small creek flowing out from the main wetland. A small waterfall cascades out of a beaver's dam. A sandhill crane coos nearby. On the other side of the creek, black-eyed Susans pop in miniature sunburst. The Powsheik skipperling loves this particular flower. Now it's time for Clint Pogue to put on his game face. A flutter goes by. It's not our butterfly.
Here's one.
Oh, we got some Dorcas coppers flying around. A really common butterfly this time of year. And they give a flash off. It's really similar at first glance to what a Powsheik looks like. But once you see them up close, they look absolutely nothing alike when they're standing still.
Tracking a camouflaged insect with a 1-inch wingspan is a game of patience. We tread lightly, scanning every likely flower. And then...
Oh, Powsheik?
Right here. He's got his backside to you, Rachel. Can you see him?
He's... No, I don't see it yet.
They're really tiny.
It's not on a flower.
No, it's on a blade of grass. Look for the white stripes on its wing. It's going to be sort of right under where this grass is, about 8 inches.
Oh, yes, I do see it. I do see it.
The Powsheik was once plentiful on the plains of southern Canada and the Dakotas, but it's losing ground to invasive species, agricultural practices, and human encroachment. From time to time, prescribed burns at Big Valley help maintain its habitat, but even fire can't control all of its threats. Dan Kennedy notes that there are some simple things people can do to help the Powsheik skipperling and the prairie fens on which it thrives.
One, learn about that system and share it with your family and friends. Two, is to join or a conservation organization or volunteer to do conservation work. And third, specifically for butterflies, you can plant native vegetation in your garden.
Before we turn to leave, I asked Dan to take a few close-ups of a Powsheik as I juggle my microphone and recorder. He politely obliges. But then when an ordinary dragonfly approaches, it's my turn to get up close.
Let's see if Mr. Dragonfly makes some noise here.
Stop sticking that microphone in my face.
That's a first in my career.
And probably not the last. For Current State, I'm Kevin Labor.
You're listening to Current State on WKAR. This is the second year of a week-long summer program where Michigan State University students mentor young musicians who are on the autism spectrum. WKAR's Reginald Hardwick brings us the music.
It's 4 p.m, and the practice rooms are alive with sound on the fifth floor of Music Hall.
Hi, I'm Reginald from WKAR.
Hi.
I enter a tiny room with a baby grand piano, and Joey Tan, an 11th grader from Georgia, is playing Beethoven's Tempest Sonata, the third movement, from memory. Her mentor, or summer camp counselor, if you will, is Quinn Homa, who just finished her master's in musicology at MSU. They're practicing how to keep Joey on track and not lose her confidence when she makes an error during recital.
Okay, you made a mistake. Now, can you find where to start next? Yeah, keep going.
Later, Joey tells me how she loves playing piano because it allows her to express herself.
Communication. I can feel the feelings of others. You can see people. Their personality always very unique and something just very different in the world. And there's so many forms it can take.
Joey is one of 7 college-bound students picked for Celebrating the Spectrum Festival, a summer camp for musicians who are on the autism spectrum. She spent the week living in an MSU residence hall, sampling dorm food, and learning from mentors like Quinn.
Music can be used as therapy to help people develop in terms of, you know, their brains and what they're able to do physically as well, and also to be able to just communicate with people.
On Saturday afternoon, all 7 students, or campers, will perform several pieces of classical and jazz music after a week of guidance from their mentors.
Every single one of these people are unique, and they are spectacular artists, and they communicate with an audience and are so open to showing who they are through the music, and it's incredibly inspiring.
With less than an hour of practice time left, I head down the hall to another room with a piano. In here, Rex Lewis Clack is practicing jazz with his mentor, Lisa Summers. If Rex's name sounds familiar, you may have seen him on 60 Minutes. He was born blind and diagnosed with autism as a toddler. Rex is also considered a musical savant who started playing piano at age 2.
Being with Rex is a lot of fun. Do you like being with me, Rex?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rex's mentor, Lisa Summers, is an MSU doctoral student in piano performance.
I get to see Rex grow just from meeting him on Sunday and hearing him play and being able to just be with him and see how his mind works and how he can play. I just learned so much from him. Who's your favorite composer?
Chopin,
yeah. What piece are you playing for the concert?
The Fantasy Impromptu.
Yeah, that's your favorite. When did you start playing the Fantasy Impromptu? You remember how old you were when you first learned it?
I learned it when I was 14.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite section in that piece?
The lyrical.
Rex and Lisa are such a good team. We'll end this story with them introducing and sharing one of Rex's favorite pieces to play.
Can you play a little bit of the lyrical for Reginald?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
listening to Current State on WKAR. A museum space dedicated to the appreciation of Russian culture exists in a place you might not expect, Charlotte, Michigan. It's called the Russian Room, and WKAR's Katie Cook pays a visit.
Walking up the creaky stairs inside the Eaton County Courthouse, you feel like you're going back in time. Located in downtown Charlotte, the 1885 Renaissance Historic Courthouse is now a museum filled with different exhibits of history and culture. And perhaps the most surprising thing you'll find there is the Russian Room.
See all those, like, beautiful icons? They're old church icons.
That's Ina Phelps, the Russian Room's creator. She explains the significance of some of her personal souvenirs and family heirlooms in glass cases.
This is really rare. See those little postcards?
The Russian Room is a cozy, colorful space. Hand-painted drawings of nesting dolls are suspended from the high ceilings. With Russian toys, artifacts, and handmade items found in every corner, it's like a mini museum of Russian heritage and culture. And there's a sizable book collection.
I have tons of books, so that's my lending library for Russian people. Because I have tons. Like, I have boxes and boxes. I've been in the United States for 17 years, so.
Ina was born in Russia and first moved to the United States in 1999 as an exchange student. Now she and her husband and kids live in Charlotte, her husband's hometown. Her idea for the Russian Room came about as she met more and more people who were curious about her culture. And many were parents like herself who wanted more places for their kids to learn and play.
I've been part of this community for a while, and I, you know, people just have such a positive feedback about my culture. They always ask about this, you know, they're always excited. And I'm not a foreigner for them, you know, I'm part of a community.
Someone suggested she reach out to Julie Kimmer at the Eaton County Museum with her idea.
And so I said, Julie, I think we need a place here for kids. And she goes, yeah, that's a great idea. And I said, I want it to be Russian because I have a lot of Russian stuff. Obviously, I'm Russian. I'm very passionate about my culture. She goes, okay. She goes, well, follow me. She brings me here, opens the door, and she's like, well, how about all those two rooms? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? She goes, it's all yours.
Much of the Russian Room is designed for children to enjoy.
My favorite thing since I've been open, kids come in here and then they play. Like those two little tables with Legos and the nesting dolls there. Oh my God, kids play for hours.
But Ina wants it to be a space for people of all ages.
I have like bigger visions for this place. It's not just a play place. I want to do cultural events like Russian tea parties. You know, I want to bring language classes here. I want to actually bring Russian performers. And then eventually I want to bring Russian community here as well.
She says the community has been supportive, but some people found it strange that she wanted to create a place for Russian culture in Charlotte, Michigan.
People kind of shocked, like, why? But then I would say, why not? And then they say, exactly, why not? Why not to make this as one more, you know, spot in Charlotte to kind of attract people? Because Charlotte is turning out to be a really, really cool place.
Ina is a full-time hairdresser with her own business and also likes to dabble in stand-up comedy. She tries to stay lighthearted even when there are troubling things about Russia in the news.
I'm not really political at all because politics really bore me to tears because politics is all about money. This is what that's my take on it. I'm just thinking no matter what it is, I don't want to have no wars. That's my thing because, you know, being on both sides at the same time, that's the worst nightmare. Hopefully with my work, we're going to bring more peace between our countries, right?
She jokes that she hopes Putin will hear about the Russian Room.
Hey, who knows? You never know. You just, you know, this is what I learned in life, finally, being 40-something years old. You just have to do what you like and don't worry about it. And literally, it takes off by itself.
For WKAR News, I'm Katie Cook.
That's Current State for you today. We make the show here at the College of Communication Arts and Sciences at MSU. The show is produced by Brooke Allen, Katie Cook, Kevin Lavery, Jamie Paisley, Scott Pohl, Corel Vega, and our news director is Reginald Hardwick. WKAR's director of broadcasting is Susie Elkins. I'm your host, Peter Worf, and Current State is a production of Michigan State University Radio.